Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, along with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the world headquarters here, right next to a very busy, overlooking a very busy San Diego landing in Paloma. Fisherman's Landing is like on fire this morning, for sure. A lot of boats coming in, Royal Star being one of them. And speaking of the Royal Star, Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star is sitting here giving us some great stuff this morning.
Been awesome, man. Always love having Captain Tim on here. And we love having you on here, man. This is what makes the show, is the caller participation of Let's Talk Hookup. Peter, you always say it, but the stars of Let's Talk Hookup are our listeners.
And that's right.
We run the show, man. And we're having a
great... Our star is right here.
That's
Tim Ekstrom, right? Our guest.
No
Royal Star.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, if you want to join us this morning, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on the phones, 213-432-1090. Or send us a text. That text only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. We said it before, free download, great way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup, and the only way to text in your questions to Captain Tim. We're also giving away an awesome prize today. One lucky caller or texter, and that's going to be decided with a coin flip at the end of the show, is going to get to go fishing on a full day trip on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. Get in on that tremendous fishing that those guys are having right now. So cool to see.
Unbelievable. Yeah, fantastic fishing, and it keeps going, and it's going to keep going.
I think so.
Yeah, there's more stuff coming.
We had Taro in the, you know, Taro was off yesterday, so Anibal was running the boat, and he was in there just talking about how big the grade is and how fun it's been, and it's just cool. It's really fun to watch. Like he said,
people catching fish of a lifetime.
Yeah, they go every single day. You sleep in your bed in the morning, you sleep in your bed at night, and you get to have great offshore fishing. It's pretty pretty fun to watch.
Pretty fun.
Hey, with that said, we're going to find out what is biting. It's time for the catch report right now. And today, that fishdope.com report is sponsored by Norisk Lithium Batteries. They're here in Southern California, designed specifically for marine use. Norisk Lithium features prismatic cells for extreme durability, solid connections, longevity, and reliability. The Norisk Guardian Advanced Battery Management System allows you to monitor the health and charging status by using an app on your phone. Norisk also makes a complete line of kayak and electric reel batteries. Make an investment in the best for your boat with Norisk Lithium. That's norisklithium.com for more information for a dealer near you. That's N-O-R-S-K, Norisk Lithium. With that said, we're going to find out what's going on with our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Tim. Great show as always, guys. Love listening to you talk about all this stuff.
Jeez, so much to talk about.
Oh, we're wrapping up September here and certainly deliver some fine fall fishing. Man, but there's a lot I got to cover here for the private boat guys here today. So I want to start really close to home and with lobster season now open. And for you guys thinking about hooping in the local zone, Long Beach Harbor and then up across part of Palos Verdes, you got to check the website, Fishing Wildlife website. They've got some of that closed because of this domoic acid issue. So they've got a little map on there, and they've got the update as to what they're doing with the testing as to when they're going to open it back up. But you probably ought to be aware of that. And then as to some fishing, far more important, of course. And I'm going to talk about the islands a little bit here. Haven't been too much. But I want to mention Santa Barbara Island because it's a prime example of what's going on. These new rockfish regs and the combination with the cow cod closure zone just about wipe out the ability to fish cods up at that island and, you know, several other places around. So you guys got to read those regs carefully and understand what's going on. Danny's got it all spelled out on the Fish Dope site so you can kind of make sense of it. But I got to tell you, them red snappers on my favorite ledge in 22 fathoms just above the island there, they're safe for a while. I'm not going to be able to go over there and thin them out. But as a surface fishing up there at SBI, the resident big yellows have been biting. There's been very little said about it. But that structure fish good grade fish, mostly on mackerels, heavy tackle because they're fishing close to some bad bottom, man. It's been pretty good. Or at Catalina, I haven't mentioned it hardly at all recently because there's just not much to say. Summertime Catalina just kind of just on the slow bell most of the time, but things are changing. The volume of squid has moved in, backside middle pretty much, and that offers a whole new slate of possibilities. You know, we're getting towards squid season, so this is prime time for those big yellows on Farnsworth Bank and Pedestal Rock and the structure spots outside of West Cove like that. It's been mostly some sardines, but mostly mackerels. The fish are definitely around, but with the squid showing up, that's going to change things a little bit. Conditions are definitely changing over there. Now, as those tuna fish, like you guys have been saying, oh, my God, it's been good fishing. The weather's coming up on the outside, guys, so I'm not sure that Tanner and Cherry are going to be options for the smaller boats. But no worries because there's plenty of fish closer to home. That triangle of the 14, 267, 277 like that, that's been really steady on bluefin and yellowfin boats, school-sized fish. You know, there's been some foamers, some popper fish, a lot of just long drift, clunker style fishing on that nice grade fish. Now, another area has been 209, 312, 181. That's kind of the same kind of fishing. The best fishing is down below Clemente, kind of 43 to the corner and then down toward the butterfly a little bit. That seems where the main fleet has been. And again, bluefin and yellowfin both. And then also up inside Clemente, and I mentioned this last week about the yellowfin on the dolphins, and that we tend to see them bigger ones in the fall. So I heard a really good story yesterday. I want to share this. So one of our customers, he was in picking up a little bait tank for a skiff, and he works on a bigger boat that has some bait capacity. Well, they were coming in from that below Clemente zone. They were actually down around the weather buoy and sliding up the inside of Clemente just before dark with some lures out, and they ran over a dolphin school, and they marked the fish on it heavy. And they had a bunch of bait they needed to get rid of, so they just started pouring out the bait, and it was like, oh, my God, game on. And they wound up with a full-on yellowfin bite right there going into the dark and got fish out of it up to 55 pounds.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot of good opportunities. That front side of Clemente, it's got fish scattered around everywhere. You know, kind of that 289, some mackerel bank, even some right outside of Northwest Harbor. There are some big ones around. So there is just a ton of fish around, massive quantities of tuna fish. And we've got to get through weather here for a couple of days, and then looks like it's going to straighten right out. And I think we're going to see some fantastic fall fishing.
I dig it, man. Certainly a great report, as always, Mark. Appreciate that. Glad to hear there's a big stretch of fish up and down the beach. And, man, we'll look forward to another one. If somebody wants to keep in touch with everything going on that you do, the best bait tanks in the world and all the great info and tackle of Pacific Edge, how do we find you?
Well, Ricky, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on a corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by the big Chevron station, who's now 682, I think it is.
And,
it's just crazy. The 712, I think, for premium. I mean, oh, my God. But at any rate, phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, guys, it's definitely time to go fishing.
And I might add, too, fishdope.com. You mentioned Danny and the boys do such a great job, whether it's rock cod fishing or you want to know what's going on a daily basis. Fishdope.com has everything you need. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, $20 code. Mark, thanks for the report, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
Yeah, you got it. We'll see you guys.
Appreciate that, Mark, very much. Well, let's head from Pacific Edge all the way down to Cedros Island. Time to talk Cedros Sport Fishing with Rosie. Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning, guys. Hope you are all doing well. I have to say, September is going out with a huge bang. If you want really big halibut and you want really big white sea bass, dropper loop is the way to go right now at Cedros. And the guys are pulling in 40 to 50 pound white sea bass and halibut daily.
Oh.
So it's been incredible. You know, yellowtail, they're still getting them on surface iron. But for the big guys, the home guards, slow trolling a mackerel is the way to go there. So still, Cedros is still, you know, going strong. We're coming up on the end of our season, but the fish are still biting, and we are definitely getting ready for next year. Still got a couple of trips available this year, on a couple spots on one trip. If anyone is interested in those spots, I'll be going fishing with my husband, and I'm sure it's going to be a good time, but you can get a hold of me at 619-772-7570. Give me a call. Go fishing. Get some home guards.
And it's not too early to book for next year, right?
It is not too early to book for next year. You can pull up our schedule online. You will see some trips online. It looks like we're going to be close to 60 trips next year.
Wow.
And at both lodges, we'll be obviously up and running. But some charter masters are still working on picking their trip dates. They're kind of jostling some things around. So you can see some stuff online, but I'll tell you what. Tell you a little secret. The best thing to do is if you are interested in going, you give me a call and I will put your name on my list. And I am literally going in order for people to pick their trips. So if you call me and get on that list, I will definitely give you a call back. Or if you see a trip that you want to go on and it's online right now, then you're good to go.
There you go, Rosie. Thanks a lot for that. Appreciate that. And we will talk to you guys next Saturday from Cedro Sport Fishing.
You got it. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right. Appreciate that. Hey, want to remind you, be sure to check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. Loaded with good info there. What is, of course, what's the feature? Beautiful yellowfin tuna on the front cover.
That's a
with
great
a beautiful later.
Shot.
What
yeah.
a great
That's
cover
a cool
shot.
Photo.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, so much good fishing going on, and we forget, you know, the Sierras right now are on
yeah.
fire, too. You know, our friends up at Adventure Camping have been very busy. You want to still take advantage of their great fall special. They have a great deal on those on the camper rentals, but the fishing up in the Sierras is on fire. They have it all, and along with hunting and fishing and more, Baja and everything. Western Outdoor News, be sure to check it out this week, and you can also see who the guests are going to be on Let's Talk Hookup in Western Outdoor News.
No. Doubt about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we're waiting for Marcos.
We're ready to roll, man. Well, we got Marcos yeah. standing by
you
from Seabor Sport Fishing. What's up, Marcos?
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing today?
Man, we are anxious to hear this report. I have a feeling you guys were very busy this week down at Seaforth.
Yeah, you know, we're rolling into October, and like I said, that bluefin for Thanksgiving is looking more and more likely the way things are rolling right now. So we'll start with the half day. The calico bass fishing picked back up. You know, we had a little lull in there for a bit. But Thursday, caught 24 in the morning, released 100, caught 62 in the afternoon, released about 100. Yesterday, they had 56 in the afternoon, released a bunch more, 19 in the morning. Actually had a few bonito yesterday, one hell of an account, so very good half-day fishing. And the loads are actually a little light right now with people back in school and all that fun stuff, so definitely a good time to sneak out there and get a shot at that calico bass and maybe some other fish. Full-day trip still rolling along. The San Diego and the Sea Watch out there catching a mix of bluefin and yellowfin. Pretty good yellowfin fishing this week, and I saw someone showed me a picture. I think, what was it? I see Carl from Fisherman's Landing there was out on the San Diego catching some fish there.
Yeah, that looked like a great trip yesterday. 100-plus tuna yesterday.
100-plus tuna
yeah.
yesterday? Oh, my.
Yeah, he came into the Seaforth Tackle Shop, bought a bunch of gear from the number one tackle shop, and then went out on the number one full-day boat there and caught the number one fish. So good day for Carl there.
Well, you know, Carl's like our farm system manager, so it's good that he was checking in on the farm team over there at the second-rate shop. Glad to hear it.
Scout. Marcos got you on that one.
You're going to try and poach some of our employees there, huh?
but unbelievable fishing both locally and on the overnights and the day and a half, everything, right?
Across the board here, like I said, we've been seeing, it's been a consistent year. You know, and you see that bluefin fishing, there's always going to be a little bit of lulls here and there. But even on those 1 days, a day and a half, 2 days, some longer trips sneaking in there, bluefin, yellowfin, Dorado, yellowtail, pretty much everything you could want on any of that, you know, fishing there. So good fishing all across the board. Check out the website, seaforthlanding.com. We got our full schedule up there. And I'm talking about weekends are still hard to find for those full days especially, but lots of weekday trip options. You know, we are going to sneak in some weekend trips there, hopefully. So seaforthlanding.com, half day, full day, 1 day, longer, all of them in there. Just call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person, get out on the boat.
Marco's crazy good fishing this week. So fun to see. And man, like you say, from the half day all the way up to the longest trips available, everything biting, firing on all cylinders. Appreciate a great report as always. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
Thanks, Marcos. Boy, what great fishing that is. That wraps up our catch report today.
What a catch report, huh?
No doubt, man. Hey, want to remind you, as you just heard, it is time for tuna in SoCal. Yeah. And if you're not using Gamakatsu hooks, you are missing bite. Those Nautilus circle hooks come in sizes as small as a number 4 and all the way up to a 6-0 for your big bluefins. And when they're biting, when that big fish is biting, you need a heavier gauge hook. The Nautilus HD is tough enough, but not so oversized that it wears your bait down. They both come in ringed or non-ringed versions. You can see your local dealer or check Gamakatsu.com for more info.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I have a great text here from Lynn and Eliso Viejo. He says, with Tim talking about keeping only as much catch as you can eat or give away, does San Diego Sport Boats fleet arrange for a place where fishermen can sell their excess catch? I also would like to buy a whole bluefin. Is there a place where I can buy in great quantity? So let's clear that up.
It's got to be a plant.
Yeah.
No, and what agency do you work for again?
Yeah. Thank you. Great show. Long
yeah,
time.
Come on.
I think it's just people aren't don't know, because in other states like Hawaii, you can sell your catch, but not in California.
Yeah, in California, the sale of sport-caught fish is prohibited regardless of where they were caught. If they're caught in Mexico, if they're caught in California, anywhere that fish is caught under a sport fishing license, it cannot be sold, or any byproduct cannot be sold. So,
and it can't be traded or bartered either.
For anything of value.
Very serious.
Yeah, it is serious, and I am in full support of that, by the way.
You can gift it.
Yeah, you can give it to somebody. Sure, but you cannot do anything that
has value.
That's right. That generates something of value in return. So
right.
that said, we want to make that very clear to everybody and anybody. And again, we're strong proponents of that. And the reason for that is to encourage the angling public to not overfish.
Right.
You know that that is. It's
not an income source.
Yeah, it's the wisdom behind it. So, you know, once again, be responsible in what you take. Only take what you need or what you can share with families and friends, and as long as it's within your limit, more power to you.
And the fines, I might add, for getting caught selling sport-caught fish, very, very high.
Oh, it's bad.
It's really bad. Don't do it.
It's something, how can I say it better? Just don't do it. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, for sure. But I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of people don't understand that in California. But if you're in Hawaii, you go fishing, they sell it all the time.
Fishing, it doesn't belong to you.
It belongs to your crew, yeah.
Hey, I had a fun text come through. This one says, I was looking at photos from the mid-80s the other day, and I found a classic picture of myself with a 140-pound yellowfin. Behind me was Rollo clowning around in the bait tank, and next to him was a young Tim Ekstrom. I just really wanted to say thanks for all that you've done for so many of us over the years. You're truly a special person to our angling community. That came from Howard in Santa Maria.
Wow, that is a blast in the past. Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
I can picture the time like it was yesterday. You know, those were some. That's going back, by the way. That's like 35 years. Because I started working on Royal Polaris in 1986 or 7. I think it was 87.
87. Wow.
Yeah, I think it was 87 in the summer of 1987.
Who was your crew that you worked with back then?
Or the original crew that I signed on there with, it was Rollo, Rich Rogers, Mike, God, what was his last name? I've got a Bill Lang, Leroy
Kiyohara?
Shintaku. No. Brian wasn't on there. He started on there like 2 months after I got on there.
Okay.
Month after, like, we started at almost the same time. And then Mike Morrison.
Mike Morrison.
There. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was the crew. And of course, Frank and Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the original crew.
Man.
Pretty epic.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what Mike's last name, but anyway, that was the original crew. And then, you know, over the 6 years that I worked on there, you know, it turned into the last couple of years. That was the super crew. Mm-hmm. You know, it was Rollo, Brian Kiyohara, Ross Baker, Russ Braswell, Gerald Scholl, Dave Aikida.
Yeah,
you know, we had some real
heavy hitters.
Yeah, Jamie Hustler, remember Hustler? Oh my gosh, man, those were some pretty magic times. Those were unbelievable.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, and then you took over the Royal Star in 92.
Yeah, exactly, in July of 1992.
Yeah.
We were some real pioneers back then. I mean, we had a lot of stuff on there, you know, like just advance the fishery and the approach. You know, when I first got on there, it was, you know, everything dies. Everything.
Yeah.
And that's just the way
everything was back then.
Yeah. I mean, it's I'm not even being critical. It's kind of like looking back at, looking back through the lens of history, and it's like the pioneers and the plains of the buffalo.
Sure.
You know, there's so many of them.
Yeah, well, you did.
There's blasting them out of the trains and driving by. It's kind of that same thing. It's like we just didn't even know it was.
Yeah.
It was as,
there was
as,
a, not an unlimited resource.
Yeah, or that it was as barbaric as it was. Some people didn't, but we did, the young guys.
Yeah.
You know, we did. So, you know, we really put forth a lot of effort. I mean, I can just remember, you know, as being a kid, just going, I can't wait till I run this boat so I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to make that better. We're not going
to,
you know, we'd get into these schools of yellowtail. I go down story lane here, but we'd get in school, you know, you roll into the ridge, right? And you've already got 1,000 fish on the boat. Literally, you've already got 1,000. You know, you've got, I don't know, you know, 500 tuna, 300. You roll in and the 6-pound tuna are biting at the 13 all night long. And they just wail on those things. I mean, everyone got a tag on them.
Right.
Yeah, the success of the trip, the individual success of the year was measured by how many you caught.
Well, remember the days when they used to line up the giant tails on the stern, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that was the measure of the trip.
Yeah, I spent many an hour, you know.
Yeah, tying them up.
Lashing the cord
down. Yeah. Double layer. I think that was the first guy, that one trip I ran on Royal Polaris. We had like 7 over 300 and 28 or 29 over 200. Yeah. We had the triple layer. We had them tied up all the way around the. You know,
it's nice to see that change.
It's very
refreshing.
Nice. It is. But you know, going again, the walk down memory lane. We really put forth. You know, guys like, I mean, especially Brian and I, Randy when he was on the XL. You know, and then the successive generations after. We put a lot of emphasis on focusing on the quality fish.
Yes, right. And that's why you guys pioneered the RSW.
That's right, and then the variety too. It's like, okay, we got enough of these. Let's go do something else rather than just
knowing that it would be easier and you could continue to whale away at the same thing, but you're going
to
provide
just
a better.
Build a better mosaic, if you will, you know, which ultimately is now to me, it's the definition of a successful long range trip.
Yeah.
And I've said it many a time. It's like quantity, quality, and variety. And if you can nail those three and the quantity, that's a threshold that's measured by each individual. But you can feel it's palpable. You know, when you're on the boat and you're wailing away, and all of a sudden everybody's just kind of like, you just feel it. It's like, we got enough of these.
Nobody's running to the bait tank
anymore.
Good.
Exactly.
We're good. Yeah.
Anybody want a yellowtail? Okay. Time to go.
Yeah.
Time to go look for something else.
Speaking of Kiyohara, you know, Lori, lovely lady that runs the American Angler office there, she sent me an opening that they have an opening on a Penn 8-day trip on the 7th of October, which is coming up next week. So that's a pretty rare opportunity there. So 8-day trip on the American Angler. Call Lori in the American Angler office or just check AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Grab that spot. Phones are packed. Let's jump in.
Let's do that, bro. How about this time we talk to Kevin? He's calling us from Ocean Beach this morning. What's up, Kevin? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, thank you, guys. How you doing?
Great, Kevin. Good morning.
Yeah, right. I've got a shameless plug, and it kind of just going in with that Marco at Seaforth. I am going to be fishing this Thursday on a 2.5 day on the Cortez with Jim Hughes Rambo.
Lucky guy.
We're going to be departing Thursday and returning Sunday morning. It's a limited load, 15 people, and we had 2 cancellations. So I'm looking for anybody that might want to come with us. It's at cost, pretty good price, $770 per person, and I got all the details up on Bloody Decks on the Southern California Fishing Trip Planning Forum. If you can't get on the internet,
Cortez.
Yeah, so,
it's a fun thing.
And to go fishing with Rambo, man, that's on the Cortez out of Seaforth. So if somebody wants to grab one of those spots from you, can they give you a call?
Absolutely. Yeah, pencils poised. 619-417-8843.
All right. And the trip again is when?
619. This Thursday, October 5th, depart in the evening, returning Sunday morning around 6 a.m. back to the barn.
Very nice. Sounds like a great trip and a great opportunity for somebody to go. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that, and have a great time on your trip. Good luck. All right.
That's so
awesome. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Yeah, I have a great text.
I thought so. Yeah, I wanted, you know, it was a revisit to something we talked about, but I thought it was a fun one. And it says, good morning. My question's for Captain Tim. Tim, could you talk about the moment that you realized the vertical jigging technique and specialized rods and reels was the real deal? You guys have been so good at catching fish in so many different techniques. When did the light bulb go off that this might be something different?
When I got my ass kicked out there for about the fourth time, you know, I finally was willing to concede that maybe there was something to
this thing,
that's
huh?
So funny.
Yeah, that it works.
That is the truth. You know, I mean, we all share our stops. You know, we're talking on the radio, it's constant chatter, and it's like, you know, this guy over here. You know, it's like, oh, we got 8 out of that one. Oh, we got 12. We got 20. And we're like, yeah, we got 1. We got 2. We got 6. We got none. We got, you know, every time they're stopping, it's like, it doesn't take very long.
What the heck are you guys doing over there?
Yeah, it doesn't take very long. You know, as a fisherman, you go, hey, man, they're not just getting lucky. They're doing something that we're not, and we better get on it.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's good one for sure.
It didn't take very long, but it takes more time to adapt. For anglers to adapt to catch up, you know what I mean? I love that, you know, I've used this and talked about it quite a bit this year. It's such an epic example of how, because, you know, the younger generations, just like I was talking about
when we were just talking about it, right?
When we were on there, I mean, we were the groundbreaking. We introduced, look at all the different methods of catching big ones.
Sure.
You know, between chunks, the kites, the bigger gears.
No harness and belts like we used back in the day.
Like all of that occurred because we didn't know any boundaries. We were always looking for something. But as you get older, you know, you get locked into what you're doing. And it's such a perfect example of jigging. Who are the guys that really started doing that? Gavin and the guys on the Queen, you know, the guys on the San Diego. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah,
you know,
Luann, like those guys.
Exactly. Adam
Marcus.
Doing, those guys, you know, those guys are on it. You know what I mean? And it wasn't that it was a new method. You know, you mentioned it. I mean, that's how they've been fishing in the Western Pacific forever. You know, going back generations, you know, be it out of, you know, like I mentioned all the guys from Thailand and, you know, I know in southeastern Japan. I mean, that's how they fish over there. But those guys, you know, they had a few anglers that came on and showed them. And those guys were like, ooh, you know.
Yeah, I can use this.
Come to this.
Yeah, we're on this. And, you know, they of course, all implemented and got good at it before they let the cat out of it.
Yeah. Oh, shocker.
Exactly.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls and text. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
If you're into saltwater fishing, listen to this. Saturday, November 4th, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Hi, this is Doug Kern. We are pulling out all the stops on this one. Over 20 manufacturers' reps like Shimano and PowerPro. Check it out. All the Shimano and PowerPro product we have, like the new Talica 12 and 16A series. Backed by popular demand, the Shimano Tranks Casting Contest. Cast a Shimano Tranks 500 and Shimano Terramar 90H rod and show your surface iron casting skill. You'll see Shimano Terramar is the perfect rod to handle tough fish. The secret is TC4 blank construction. Match your Shimano Terramar rod with a Shimano Tranks 500 reel. Shimano's X-Ship and HEG technologies in the Shimano Tranks combine to provide the massive cranking power with a smooth and effortless retrieve. It's our biggest sale of the year, Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing. Unbelievable pricing on tackle, clothing, and accessories. Saturday, November 4th.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have 3 great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Jeet and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check DanaLanding.com for more details.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Phones are absolutely packed up. Everybody wants to talk to Tim. 213-432-1090 is the phone number. One drops off. Also, the text just rolling through. It's been a great morning.
A lot of texts and a lot of phone calls. Let's jump back into those busy phones.
You got it, man. How about this time we talk to Jonathan? He's calling us from San Juan Capistrano. What's up, Jonathan? Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, you guys. Been listening to you for decades and just want to thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
And I had a love the show. I had a kind of a question for everyone. When pulling up on a kelp patty, how do you approach that? Do you run up on it? Do you get upwind and drift to it? Do you troll around it? Do you slow troll around it? What's the best method?
Great question.
Tim? Well, I think that first of all, if you're wahoo fishing, let's say that, if you're in an area where there's wahoo, trolling around it for sure first would be a good approach. Just a kelp out here where you're not expecting to fish for wahoo, I think the best approach is so what we do generally, because there's a few different options here, obviously. Now, if you're on a skiff, you know, you just the first thing I would say is approach slowly.
Totally.
You know, quiet.
Most important thing.
Yeah, be quiet, nice and easy. And, you know,
don't come roaring up on it.
Yeah, if you're on a skiff, you know, slow down 100 yards away and you know, creep up to it nice and easy. Stop upwind if you're on a private boat or yacht, you know, something smaller. And yeah, set up a drift to where you go by it. And you don't have to go by it to where the thing's in your wheels. You know what I mean? If you're 15, 20 feet away from it, that's plenty close. And if there's any volume of fish, you don't have to be that close. But, you know, conventional wisdom, set up wind of it so you drift by it reasonably close. I know what I do on Royal Star quite a bit is I come up and I set it up so it's actually on either the stern or the just upwind of us for the obvious reason. I want everybody fishing on the upwind side. If you set it up downwind, everybody cast out in the air, they're wound up in their propeller and everything else. But you set it up upwind, you know, close enough, obviously, where the fish that's on it is going to be drawn off. There, that's my 1-2-3 approach. I will tell you, it's not very technical. You know, I mean, it's one little thing floating out in the middle of the ocean. And honestly, if there's any volume of fish around it, you get close, they're going to come
find
you. Yeah.
How important is it, especially for a guy like Jonathan's talking about, from a private boat where you have limited bait capacity, to spread a little bit of bait around? Is it necessary at all? Does it help get things fired up? Or is just the baits that are on the hook going to suffice?
You know, I think that question applies again to what's there.
Sure.
Yellowtail, yeah. I think spreading a little bait around, you know, that is probably the most bait-activated fish that I know of.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, you throw a little bait around yellowtail, you'll get them back. If you don't throw any bait, there's a real chance that you're just, you know, you might get one or something like that. But there's a bunch of them around you could potentially get fired up. They won't. Huh. They'll just mosey on. But they definitely react to it. You know, like Dorado, they're generally dumber than dirt. It doesn't matter what you do. You know what I mean? They'll
bite, or they just flat out won't.
There doesn't seem to
be a whole lot in between.
Right, and when it's colder water is when they don't. You know, that's a real significant result when you're in that kind of water. What else was I going to say about the bait thing? Yeah, I know. I know what it was. When it comes to yellowtail, I have seen many a time, especially here local, where those yellowtail are like a delayed reaction, because there are times when those fish, they're not right next to the kelp.
Right, they're not hiding under it.
They take little tours. You see them, you know, yellowtail in particular.
Meandering around.
Yeah, you'll see a color spot out there. You'll see them on a sonar. You're driving around. They're a quarter mile away. They're a half a mile away. They take a little tour down when they come back. But I can't tell you how many times I've seen it myself, and I've heard of it where, you know, guys are drifting along. Maybe they get one or two or three, you know, they get one on the line. They're just sitting there, all of a sudden, whoa, where the hell did these things come from? A school just shows up from out of nowhere, and they're wailing on them. So there is something to that. You know, if you're in that situation where there's been yellowtail on kelps, or there's been some pretty big hits, waiting it out is worth it. You know, an hour, no, but, you know, a good 15, 20 minutes, you want to drift there. You might not be catching anything, but it might be worth just putting the brakes on and fishing.
And you can usually spot a kelp obviously not every time, there's all those caveats, but like you can see it in the glasses, like you kind of know what you're rolling into. It's a good size kelp, and there's two terns sitting on it, and there's three or four flying around it, and there's one picking baits off it. Like they don't all look the same. I mean, you can kind of start licking your chops when you know you see one still a mile away, and there's got good sign. Like some of it are probably worth spending the time on, and you know, you don't want to commit time to fishing something that's the size of a trash can lid, but maybe you do on something that's been in a good area that's looks fishy.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, obviously, fish sign is fish sign.
Good advice.
But in the end, it's not really all that complicated. That's a good thing.
Drive up to it and catch them.
Exactly. Try and catch them, but don't come roaring up on it. Yeah, good advice. Hey, great text here from Jack in Allied Gardens. Says, good morning. With all the current El Nino we're supposedly in, how has the fishing changed from years previous? And also, does this El Nino compare to others you've seen?
I don't really, you know, here, as far as local here goes, I don't really see much of a El Nino effect going on right now. I don't. I mean, the water temperatures have never been elevated this season. They really haven't. You know what I mean? Like, it's completely normal as far as I'm concerned. You know, 71, 72. I know, like those big El Nino events that we had.
I mean, they're calling it an El Nino, but it's kind of like a quasi, huh?
It was 69 degrees where we caught all that tuna the other day.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, we're not seeing elevated water temperatures here. Like, you want to talk about a true El Nino. That was when, I mean, I've seen a few of the cycles, but let's go back to the most recent one. Was it 2014, 15?
Yeah,
when we were getting, you know, hits for 15, 20 wahoo on kelp stuff. We were catching blue marlin.
Bullet tunas at the Coronado Islands.
Right. You know, that was a significant El Nino event that it just transported all of these tropical and subtropical species, which are rare here, into, you know, made it common. We're not, you know, 78 and 80 degree beautiful blue tropical water. We have not seen anything like that this season.
And it's possible, I mean, but by what I've read too, it's possible we haven't even seen the bulk of the El Nino yet. It could come this month, next month.
That's right.
That could be what we're going to see, and that could bode well for us.
Right.
More tropical storms brewing down south, pushing more warm water.
And you know, you can't just go by, it's like, well, we're not seeing it here, so it's not happening. You know, it's not a regional thing. It affects the entire Pacific. I mean, the setup is such. I mean, the water is elevated. The water temperatures up north are considerably higher. So, you know, I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm just saying right here in the Southern California Bight, we're not seeing.
No.
And, you know, down the coast, it's the same thing. I mean, we've seen some warmer water temperatures, but it's not uncommon at this time of year. Matter of fact, it's common for the water temperatures to be 78, 80 degrees, like down on the ridge, you know, Uncle Sam Bank, Laos Rocks. Laos Rocks has not been
not particularly warm.
It's not been warm, you know, 74, 76, which is totally normal. And the ridge, you know, it's getting warm for sure. You know, some days it was mid 80s, low 80s, but that's relatively normal. So, you know, as far as what we're seeing, you know, and there being a big El Nino effect, meaning the Southern California sport fishing, you know, long range, we're not seeing what I would associate with you know, a big El Nino push.
Gotcha. All right.
All right. Hey, got a good text. Hey, guys, I'm really enjoying the show. My question is for Tim. You've seen it all, both the good and the bad. Can you give me a rundown of what you think the appropriate age for a child, or for me to start bringing my boy on a long-range boat? That's from Mario in Chino.
Yeah, I can use my own son as an example, and you know, obviously he was raised around it, so he was ready earlier than most kids would be. But you can really... you can really evaluate them based on how they react to the ocean condition and around people. I think, you know, no doubt with a little guy, 7, 8, 9 years old, you want to bring them on a half day. You want to, it's a progression. You want to start them on a half day trip. Maybe you have a private boat. Private boat's great, but if you're going to go in a, you know, the commercial passenger fishing boat, you know, start him on a half day boat, see how he does, see how he reacts to the people, especially how he adapts to the environment. Then you take him on the Liberty, take him on the San Diego, you know, take him on a full day trip and then, you know, graduate up, go to, and if he does well and likes it, he's a fishing guy, he's a boat guy, go on a day and a half trip. And if he can make a day and a half and totally. Do good, especially one that's a little rock and rolling, it doesn't bother him. Yeah. You know, then all bets are off. Like bring him on I wouldn't say bring him on a 16 day, but you know, try him on a 3 day, him on a 3 day.
And honestly, like, I mean, you graduating from the day and a half to a trip, like a 3 day on the Royal Star is a great call. You typically have an extra crew member or two. You have a little easier accommodations. You'll probably be in your own stateroom together. I mean, that makes, you know, maybe even the most sense from, you know, do the day and a half trip, make sure you're time on the water, and then one of the, you know, you guys have so many more shorter trip opportunities. You just get a little, you know, there might be a few less people on the boat and might be a little easier to deal with.
Yeah, for sure.
So now there's a lot of guys out listening to us now that have daughters that they take fishing. I know you have a daughter, Charlie. Was she ever into fishing?
She never got into it.
Never got into it.
And she had plenty of opportunities. I mean, she would fish. She's kind of like my wife, you know, she'd fish. And all right on, I caught one in a barracuda, but
yeah,
she
no big deal.
It wasn't like next weekend. She's saying, "Can we go fishing again?"
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, she's just
not her program.
Yeah, just didn't do it for her. Yeah. You know, kids are what they are. Yeah. As you're finding out.
But there's a lot of fathers, and you probably have them on the Royal Star that bring their daughters on the trips.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
and it's certainly encouraged.
We had the coolest scenario last night in the tackle store. They were you described it as a dad and his daughter. She was probably 13, so into it. All the gear, checking out the jigs, BSing with dad. Rapping about the trip, and it was just his father and daughter going day and a half fishing last night. It was really cool to see, because she was younger, but knew everything about, oh, this is this jig and these are these assist hooks. It was rad to see.
One of our regular listeners, friends, callers, Corey from Escondido.
Sure.
He takes his daughter. He's been taking his daughter fishing since she was a little kid, and he just took her on the Pacific
Queen
or the San Diego. Yeah, I caught a bunch of tuna.
Yeah, I wish I could remember his name right now. It's escaping me. But an angler fished with us for many years, and we're going back. I'm sure his daughters are probably in their 20s now. But he used to bring them on a couple trips, you know, like one a year, and they were, you know, like, between 10 and 13, his two daughters, he brought them on a 3 and 4 day. They just wailed on them. Those girls,
so rad.
They were just epic dug it, huh? Anglers. They were really good. You know, like the offshore fly line and baits. And oh man, I'm again taking the walk down memory lane. I can't remember, but it was always, you know, you love to see.
That's
that.
Cool. You gotta love to see. Cool. That's why I say it's not just the guys.
It wasn't like it wasn't like the girls were sitting there waiting for somebody to put their bait on. No, they come with bait, take in their bait, run up to the bow. She's on.
There's a way more a percentage of guys that are going to bring their sons on the trips, like I'm sure Ricky, you can't wait to take Wyatt on a trip than are going to bring their daughters. But it does happen, and so it's certainly encouraged.
Yeah, and if they take,
I just want to be equal there,
100%, man.
Well, if they take to it, you know, it is. It's one of those things. It's like we like what we like, you know. If you got that in your blood.
Yeah.
You know, you take to it right away, like a fish to water.
Hey, there you go. Let's jump back in the phone.
You got that, bro. How about we talk to Bruce? He's calling some PB this morning. Bruce, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Just want to give a plug out to Tim and his boat, Royal Star. Go back down memory lane. Made a few trips with him. Got a lot of albacore, so that goes back a ways.
Boy. Yeah. It does, too. Man, there's a... You know, I hearken back on it, and you think about all the different. We've been engaged in all kinds of stuff lately, and recounting some of our history. You know, we on average that boat travels about 45,000 miles a year at
oh
sea.
Oh, my.
Is it that much?
Yeah, 45,000 wow. miles a year.
4,500 to 5,000 hours on the engine, basically yeah. 10 miles an hour.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
You think about that.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, a year and how long I've been on there and how many days, you know, 280 to 300 days a year, 260 to 290 days a year. Boy, it adds up.
Yeah,
you know, but you think about the miles that boat has traveled.
That's crazy.
And you know, collectively, look at our fleet. Think of how many miles this boat.
That's crazy.
Circling the globe
multiple times.
Multiple times.
And the safety record yeah. is just unbelievable.
Unreal.
Think about that. You
yeah.
know, the millions and millions of miles offshore that these boats
right.
carry anglers and just, you know, return safely, have these incredible trips. And I mean, it really is. It's mind boggling.
Totally.
The results of this fleet, you know, in from a production standpoint, from the improving the quality of the product, you know, and by product, I just don't mean the fish. I mean the overall
yeah.
experience in long range fishing
and
overnight fishing. I mean, it's just remarkable.
I hope it makes you proud because it should. Because, I mean, that's not an easy fleet.
Yeah.
Like you said it, I mean, there's thousands of passengers that go for hundreds of days. And our fleet is just impeccable in the safety. There's
yeah.
Bad things don't happen because they're so prepared, because you guys all take such good care of us and your machinery and the equipment and the people and the training. It's very impressive.
Yeah, it's the only explanation. I mean, that yeah. doesn't happen by luck.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Not
right.
not over that kind of distance.
No, it's hard work.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I just, you know, it's an epic example of how professional all of these operations really are, you know, from the you know, the local overnight boat called the New Loam, Pacific Queen, et cetera, you know, and many others, all the way up to the, you know, the world's greatest long range fishing boat ever, the Royal Star.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the Tomahawk? You didn't mention out of Fisherman's Landing. He has just, Dave has just put a name to himself this year.
How fun has that been to watch this year?
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
That is an exceptional. Dave is an exceptional individual. I had the pleasure of working multiple trips with him on Royal Star, and you know, he's one of those individuals that's like, this man is way above average. He just, you know, he's just a cut above.
Yeah.
I knew it. And he had the same experience, and he worked relief on quite a few of the other boats, you know, over the years as opportunities were coming along, and I couldn't wait to see him get the opportunity to be in an ownership role, because I mean, he is the poster child for somebody who should have their own boat. He's got the mechanical background, he's got the business acumen, he's fantastic with people, he's just a personal
guy. And
that's what
we proved itself this year.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal fisherman.
Yeah.
You know, he just
people call
it,
and it's like, what boat should I go on? Check out and see if you can get on the Tomahawk. It's
100%.
We hear about it back in the tackle store, people raving about it. And the thing that we probably hear the most is the level of like communication that he has with the passengers, not just in fishing, but like going back to the safety thing, game plan. We're going here and this is the reason why. And then when they are fishing, you know, here's the fish at this depth. And, you know, I guess he's very, very in depth with the crew, kind of making sure everybody's rigging is sound. Like, you don't often hear after the trip, you know, how good it was from people, because they're busy and they're trying to get home, they're trying to get their gear stowed, and like it's been an uncommon amount of compliments that have come from guys that like want to poke their head at, hey man, just so you know, this happened on this boat, these guys killed it.
Tomahawk,
so it's been really cool.
Good for Dave.
To watch.
Yeah, it just makes me so happy, because he is one of those individuals who worked his tail off for it, earned it, and now he's applying.
That's so cool.
He's applying everything that he learned, and him, he is a professional.
And it's showing. The boat's popular.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
He's a new guy,
so
if you want to go fishing, this is his first year in business as a boat owner, so
yeah.
He needs that support.
Yeah,
He's earning it.
That's cool.
Hey, great text here, and this is a fun one from our friend Ken in Santa Barbara. He says, it was the end of a trip, and Captain Brian announced on the PA to wind him up. It was a time to head to the barn and make a couple cranks on the reel, and I got bit. Blake asked me if I was bit. I replied yes. But it's a small fish, he replied. There are no small fish here. The fish was swimming toward the lights on the boat. He grabbed the rod out of my hand, like Blake can do sometimes, right? And wanting up on the bow, got out of a tangle in the anchor line. Half an hour later, I had a 297 yellowfin hit the deck.
Well, that's a nice one.
That's a good one, yeah.
So that's a great way to end the trip.
What a great finish, right?
Great ending note, yeah. I like that.
I was standing next to Ken when he did that.
Oh,
and it
no
was
kidding.
So slow that day that I had already showered, taken my reels apart, and was sipping a cocktail when he hooked that fish. And like, if that's not like the epitome of the time on the rail, you get rewarded. I mean, I can attest. Like, he literally made the call. That's it, boys. We're out of here. Wind him up. Yeah. And on the wind in, he got
on
a 297.
Yeah, 297.
Pretty rad.
How about that, huh?
That is.
What a great way to.
That was
finish.
A fun memory, Ken. Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup, including finding out who's going fishing on the Liberty. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Back in 1979, my parents started Fast Lane Sailing Center. They lived in a VW van in the parking lot and sold catamaran sailboats. And over the years, the shop has evolved. They've sold everything from windsurfers to barbecues, paddleboards, and trailers. Here's the point. For over 40 years, my parents, and eventually me, my brother Jared, and sister Ava, have been in the business of fun and making memories on the water with friends and family. If something's in the shop, it's a product we use, are passionate, and knowledgeable about, and want to share with you. We encourage you to come down to our shop, Fast Lane Kayaking on Mission Bay, and check out our huge selection of Hobie Mirage kayaks, accessories, and more. And let's get you on the water, fishing with friends, enjoying the coast with your family, or exploring mountain lakes in solitude. In other words, having fun and making memories.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, Gew Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the Earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water, the culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life, to achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide, rule the water.
Saturday, November 4th is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Come see seminars by saltwater tackle experts, great deals on tackle from Shimano, like Terramar rods with TC4 blank construction. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 4th.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, we're going to find out who's got the big prize, a full-day trip on board the Liberty. Tim's going to do us the honors, flip the old prize coin, see who we got.
He's flipping it on his hand.
We got a caller today. Congratulations, Rex in Santa Margarita. You are going fishing on board the Liberty. You're going to have such a good time fishing with those guys.
And especially if you can go now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So good, dude.
In the next week. Next week.
Go fishing.
I'd say in the next month, man, it's going to be good. The way things are going.
Yeah, I agree.
Things are shaping up.
I do. I think October is going to be rolling through.
Tomorrow is October.
That's correct.
Hard to believe, right? Yeah. So if somebody wants to come aboard the Royal Star, did you check? Are there any spots available?
I did. There's that one. So we have two trips after Thanksgiving, 2 3-days in the week after Thanksgiving. And we actually have quite a few openings on the second 3-day. The dates are... Oh my goodness!
He's getting it in there. It's on the Royal Star Sport Fishing website.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So if you want to, you can actually book there too.
Wednesday, November 29th through Saturday, December 12th. It's a 3-day trip.
December 2nd.
Sorry. Yeah. December 2nd. So Wednesday the 29th through Saturday the 2nd of December. There's 13 spots available. Wow.
Fantastic weather.
That's a great time of year, Santa Ana time.
Totally.
So you know, there's a great opportunity if you've got a group of you. You know, jump on there. The one before that is full. The weekend after Thanksgiving, I believe that there's going to be great fishing opportunities. Just
anything this fall.
you know, we don't have anything available. Whoa, wait a minute. Ventura County Sport Fishing 10-day, one spot. That just came available.
Okay.
That's Wednesday, November 1st through Saturday, November 11th.
Wow.
One spot. That just came available. That was not there yesterday.
Wow, so. And that's a how long of a trip?
That's a 10-day trip.
A 10-day. Hey,
sweet. Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, Tim, thanks always. How do we get a hold of you?
Area code 619-224-4764, Tracy in the office, or email us, RoyalStarSportFishing.com, and we are following along the daily narrative. Alex has done a phenomenal job with the social media.
Such good.
We actually have a great presence.
Hey, great show tomorrow. We have Valerie Hoprich from Queen Charlotte Safari. It's going to be a great show, 7 and 9 a.m. I want to thank Christian for manning the phones and the board, and, of course, Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And we'll see you tomorrow morning right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.